Morning, everyone here, everyone online. It's a new day. Today is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice.
Woo-hoo.
Let's say it again. We will rejoice,
rejoice
in Jesus. He is our joy. He's our peace. He's our love. He's everything. So let's just give him our worship this morning. Let's just sing to him with everything inside. Every one of us was created to worship him. Think about that. We were actually made and designed to worship the God of the universe, Jesus Christ. So if we could just stand, stretch if you need to, move around, dance around. Let's just really, truly focus and just give him our all in worship. Not just this time, all the time, but we want to use this time to just sing our hearts out to him. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, we welcome you. Let's just welcome him together. Oh, we welcome you. We welcome you, Holy One. Oh, we raise our voices to welcome you. Oh, 'cause you are worthy, God. You are worthy, God. There's no one more worthy. There's no one more holy. There's no one more powerful. Oh, we sing to you. Oh, oh, just lift your voice and sing and welcome him now. 'Cause he's already here. You're already here. You're already here, Jesus, in our midst. All of creation worships you, and we're longing for you. Create in us a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit. Be for more, thirst for you. Are you thirsty for more? Are you hungry for more of him? Are you wanting more of him? Oh, just tell him, Lord, I want more of you. I want more of you. Cry out to him. He's waiting to hear from you. He's waiting to hear from me. I'm wanting more and more and more of you. There's something powerful when we use our voice. There's something powerful when we just let go of the things of the world, so we lay it all down. Our eyes are on you, Jesus. Our eyes are on you, Jesus. Our eyes behold the King of Majesty. The moon and stars went. Morning sun was dead, the Savior of the world was fallen. Your body on the cross, your blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon you. No breath you gave as heaven looked away. The Son of God was laid in darkness. A battle in the grave. The war on death was waged. The power of hell forever broken. Amen. The ground began to shake. The stone was rolled away. Your perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated.
The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah.
are alive, Jesus. You will always be. You will always reign. You triumph over your foes. All your enemies are scattered before your face. Holy, worthy, righteous in all your ways. Holy, you are worthy, righteous.
Thank you. and I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. A man's empty praise, treasures of fame are never enough. Then you came along and put me back together, and every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, no, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing. My failures and flaws, Lord, you see them all, and you still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley, and there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Hey, oh, is the God of the mountain. He's the God of the valley. And there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty glory. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You turn mourning to dancing.
Come on.
You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can.
I testify.
You turn praise into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the
into joy. He's turned my fear into perfect love. With your righteousness and your truth. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
Generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb, and all who've gone before us and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. 'Cause your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. Your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. A thousand generations falling down in worship, to sing the song of ages to the land. And all who've gone before us, and all who will believe, will sing the song of ages to the land. 'Cause your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries. Song forever to the land.
If you walk in freedom,
and if you walk in freedom, and if you bear His name, sing the song forever to the land.
We'll sing.
We'll sing the song forever. will always be holy, holy forever. Holy forever will always be holy, holy forever. And be enthroned upon the praises of a thousand generations. You are worthy, Lord of all. And unto you, the slain and risen King, we lift our voice with heaven, singing, worthy, Lord of all. And be enthroned upon the praises of a thousand generations. You are worthy, Lord of all. And unto you, the slain and risen King, we lift our voice with heaven, singing, worthy, Lord of all. To join the song sung long before our lives, to raise our voice along heaven and earth alike. We've seen your faithful, mercy without end, the King who bled and died, a God who sacrificed. Be enthroned upon the praises of a thousand generations. You are worthy, Lord. To you, the slain and risen King, we lift our voice with 1,000 generations, you are worthy, Lord of all. And unto you, the slain and risen King, we lift our voice with heaven, singing, worthy, Lord of all.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Activity, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just believe it. There is supernatural, ripe atmosphere right now for supernatural breakthrough and revelation. Thank you, Lord. And just encourage you so I don't forget, but just if you know the Lord Jesus is Lord of your life, if you could just grab the elements, just as we just move into a scripture here. And when I, all week, the same verse has been coming back and ringing on my heart and all of that. So I just felt led to share it this morning. You know, in 1 John 2:6, before I get to that, the Bible says, he who says he abides in him, or who says he abides in God, ought himself to walk just as he walked. That's the goal, right? Hashtag goals. Walked as Jesus walked. And the verse in my heart, Luke 2:52, and just what I believe he wants to release this morning. Luke 2:52. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Jesus, our hero, our example, the one we want to walk as he walked, kept on increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And I just have so strongly, I believe the Lord wants to raise our vision and expectation of the favor on our lives and the favor that we walk in, both individually and corporately. I believe that he wants to release a greater manifestation, because we're in a time of great shaking. Okay, the shaking is increasing. But the shaking, the Bible says, you know, it's a promise of God. It's happening for us. It's not against us, the Lord. And I don't have time to unpack that. But we need the favor of the Lord on our lives in greater measure. And I believe the Lord's been challenging me. Your expectation of my favor in your life is too low. Or your expectation of the favor that you move in is an old wineskin that you're looking at. And we want to build on the testimonies of the past. Okay, there are so many. Some night we should just have a testimony night of all the favor that we have seen in missions, in careers, in school, in education. There's been so much favor, financial favor released in testimonies in this body, and it's amazing. But he was speaking to my heart that your vision, your perception of the favor on your life is an old wineskin. I need you to let me bring you a new wineskin, because I want to release greater favor through your life, through your career, through ministry, in the harvest, in every aspect of life, so that I am glorified to the maximum, to the maximum. And so I believe that the Lord is saying this morning, do you believe that you can grow in the favor on your life, in the release of favor through your life, no matter what realm you're in? And there's a lot of definitions of favor. Like, what is favor? We know it in our head. And you can look up charis in the Greek and all of that. But I was quickened to a definition Lance Wallenau gave in something I was listening to recently. It says, favor of God is the attraction of God to you that responds to something in you when you're worshiping and seeking him, when you're calling out for intimacy with him. Then this releases an influence through you that inclines others to like, cooperate, or trust you in the assignment God has you in. That's important. Favor in its most powerful form, most potent form, is unto an assignment that's on our lives, on this body, and on us as individuals. And so, you know, favor in sort of a novice form is like, hey, Lord, I'm going to believe you for a good parking space, or I'm going to believe you, you know, that's baby favor. We need to, like, increase. And sometimes even, you know, we've talked about testimonies of, like, Pastor Mary Pat and Pastor Bill at the airport, you know, for missions, when the Lord opens a door of favor for, like, an airline issue, and we're like, oh, man, that's amazing, and kind of laugh about it. But that's a huge deal, and the Lord wants to increase our expectation for that. And high-level favor, just one more thing I want to add. High-level favor is when you're granted access to influence and decision-makers, a la Joseph, you know, a la others in the scripture, influence and decision-makers to fulfill an assignment God has to shift something in the atmosphere or shift something in the educational realm, the government realm, the marketplace realm, whatever it is, the family realm, right? The cultural realm, to shift something. Favor of God is a power that comes upon you and clothes you with the magnetic power of angelic intervention to set you up for divine appointments with decision makers. So I was just blown away by these definitions, because, I mean, it's like Jesus himself increased in favor. And how did he do that? You know, the scripture says, just one more, in Psalm 147:11, the Lord favors those who fear him. Very simple. Those who wait for his loving kindness. I mean, Jesus feared his Father God. He sought his Father God every day. He laid his life down. He only wanted to fulfill the Father's assignment. And that should be the cry of our heart. But I believe the Lord wants to release something as we take communion and just our vision and our expectation of the favor that he has already put on our lives and the favor that can increase in our lives as we continue to seek first his kingdom. That's the big assignment. But also in every realm of our life to bring him glory. And I just as we're closing, I'm just reminded of a testimony on when we were on missions in the Netherlands in Rotterdam. And, you know, favor, sometimes I think we just expect to sit and favor's going to hit me like a lightning bolt and then I'll know what I need to do. But sometimes the Lord wants us to step out, well, a lot of times, lean into it, step into the assignment that seems too big, step into the assignment that seems, you know, above our pay grade or whatever. And he's going to back us up. We have to listen to Holy Spirit. And we were ministering in Rotterdam on the streets, and we were in front of a public government, the seat of government of that city. And Pastor Mary Pat and I were just, in that moment, Holy Spirit was drawing us to that building, like, okay, you know, and maybe we're to pray. And we did pray over the building and through the building. But he had multiple assignments that day. And without taking too much time, I mean, the assignments included walking after a group of very well-dressed men. We didn't know who they were, but it happened to be the mayor of Hamburg, Germany, which is actually, we were told later, the seat of much human trafficking in Germany. But the Lord released an opportunity to give his right-hand person a prophetic word that deeply touched that person. I mean, just on the street, you know, the Lord opened up that door, and then we went into the building. The Lord's like, go into the building, okay? And then it just was favor, conversation after. They're like, sure, come on in. And then, you know, talking to people, sharing the gospel with you know, high-level people, people of influence in that building that's the seat of influence. And it's not just so we can feel important. It was an assignment to shift something in the atmosphere in that city. We were already doing it on the streets. There was already the call, you know, the awakening of Europe happening. We were already seeing the atmosphere shift as we preached the gospel and saw people saved. But he said, no, I have something in the governmental realm. I want you to go in, and I'm going to line up the people, and they're going to listen to you, and you're going to release what I have for you to release. So, Lord, just as we take communion this morning, Father, we thank you for the favor that's on, Lord, this ministry corporately, and the favor that's on each one of you. And if you've believed that you don't walk in favor, I just ask you, just repent of that. Put that before the Lord, because each and every person in this room, from the youngest to the oldest, you laid down your life for Jesus, and you're moving in the assignment that he has for you. You walk in favor. Lord, lift our vision. Because it's not favor so we look so great. It's favor so that you're glorified. It's favor so that people marvel and are in awe, like in the book of Acts, shaking with awe at the goodness of the Lord, at the power of the Lord. Lord, in this time of shaking, we ask that you would use us as your instruments and give us access, Lord, to decision makers, Lord, in the realm of education, government, marketplace, culture, media, every realm, Lord God. Here we are, and you're sending us deeper and deeper and higher, Lord. You're saying, you individually go lower, but I want to take you higher because I have an assignment for you to change atmospheres, to change cultural paradigms, to change laws, to change decisions, to change financial status. Thank you, Lord, that we want to be like you, Jesus. And increase. We want to fear you more so we can increase more as you increased. And Lord, we ask for your wisdom, Lord. We ask for your favor. Lord, in every realm, show us what that could look like in our lives. Raise our vision and our expectation. Thank you, Jesus, that you're all-powerful. You control everything, Lord. You're in control. And Lord, we're your vessels. So just as we transition, Lord, I thank you that we're going to hear testimonies. Testimonies of increases, of favor. If you're believing for an open door, I just ask you to put up your hand if there's an open door that you're contending for. Just hearing this. Thank you, Lord. Father, if that open door is for you, we command that door to open in the name of Jesus. We command that door to open in the name of Jesus. Lord, we expect and we believe, and just together as one with our mustard seeds of faith, we say yes and amen to doors opening, promises being fulfilled, miracles, access, yeses where there's been a no. I see yeses, just the word yes coming. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, where there's been a no.
You're worthy.
Thank you, Lord, for your favor, Lord. Thank you for your breakthrough, Jesus. And we say it's done in Jesus' name.
Have your way, Lord.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Kind of on that note, I guess. We want to highlight Freedom Cry, which is coming up May 18th, Saturday, May 18th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And please plan to be there the whole day. This is an amazing, amazing, it's not just an event. I don't know what to call it. It's an activation. It's a appointment for a regional shift and increase in the area of the fight against human trafficking. And we have some incredible speakers. Talk about favor. Let me just give a testimony. We have Dr. Marlene Carson coming. She is appointed by Trump and by the United States State Department's Advisory Council on Human Trafficking. Okay, she was appointed by Trump and Biden has kept her. She's the chair of that seat of government. She is coming to speak at Freedom Cry. And let me tell you, when the Lord put her on our heart as we were arranging for what speakers, it's always like, Lord, how are you going to bring the people? You know, and I just reached out to her on LinkedIn. She messaged me back, I believe, within the hour or half an hour. I don't know. Rachel might remember better. I mean, it was quick. And I had given her my phone number, and then she called me. That is unheard of. That is actually favor. Right? Because I was moving in the assignment, and I was like, in my mind's like, how are we going to find somebody good, Lord? And it's like, no, kill that thought. The assignment is what I want to release through Freedom Cry. Step into that, and she messages me back and calls me within an hour. Come on, she doesn't know me from Adam. That's favor. So she's coming. Then we have Dana Hess, who was the former sergeant and director of the Central Ohio Human Trafficking Task Force. She led the biggest sting operation, I believe, at that time and maybe to date in the state of Ohio, uncovering victims of trafficking and perpetrators. She's now president of the SOAP Project, which is Save Our Adolescents from Prostitution. She has amazing, I've spoken with her on the phone. She's a woman of faith. They're moving into some incredible new arenas, working with, they've done one of the first ever all-male retreats for male survivors of human trafficking, and they're and the Lord is leading and guiding them in restoration, and they're just doing so much. We have our amazing pastors, Bill and Mary Pat Gokey. They're going to speak, and let me tell you, every year it's an incredible release. Absolutely. And you can see everybody else on the flyer. We have law enforcement. We have our very own Mike Wheeler from Patriot Software is going to be sharing. And these are cutting edge. You know, we're going to be, you know, bring anyone. If they know nothing about human trafficking, they're a perfect candidate. If they already know something about human trafficking, you're a perfect candidate to come, because everyone's going to be lifted to a higher level, we believe, because the Spirit of God's going to be here, and He's going to be releasing an increase for all of us, and we can all have a role in this fight. You know, we all have a part to play. So I just encourage you, ask the Lord. I did that last night, and He opened up some incredible doors just last night. Say, Lord, how can I get the word out? You know, give me the name of a person I know on social media. Give me the name of a person. I mean, I reached out to someone last night I don't think I'd ever talked to since high school, and it was an open door. So the Lord is moving. His favor's there, and we are asking each of you, pray about how to get the word out, because it's going to be an incredible release. We want to honor what the Lord has put together, right? It's about honoring Him. He has put this together, and He has something incredible and new for all of us. So bring the people. The name of the Lord's going to be lifted up, as it is every year, and it's just such a unique and incredible opportunity and activation. So be there, bring a brood with you, and we will see you, and just be praying every day into what the Lord wants to do. Oh, sure. So we have Lieutenant Jason Collins. He is patrol lieutenant with Jackson Township Police Department. Another amazing connection. He is a believer. I mean, there are believers in our community in positions of leadership on this fight that care about the Lord's strategy and the Lord's intentions for this. So that's incredible. We have Hannah Swift, who's the director of community outreach for Grace Haven. Grace Haven's one of the, I believe, oldest standing anti-human traffic organizations in Ohio. They've had a house to bring youth who are coming out of this, and they've had it for years, and it's still up and running. And so they offer hope and healing for survivors of and overcomers of sex trafficking. She's based in Columbus. And Rachel Larson here, I don't know where she is, but she's going to be speaking along with myself. And I believe that's everyone. Dr. Carson is our... So Dr. Carson is not only chair of the U.S. Advisory Board, but she was actually once trafficked. She has an incredible testimony that she's going to share about how the Lord brought her out of that and just what's happened since then and how she's taken back ground from the enemy. She's also... Another aspect of her is she started Black Leaders Against Sex Trafficking, or BLAST. So that's another... And she's going to speak, not only share about her testimony, but also just about what's happening in the government, and also what, you know, agencies can do, how we can, what's on the cutting edge of how we address people coming out of this and also people who are at risk. So it's both. It's not just hearing from those who have come out of it and how that happened, but also how do we prevent this from happening? You know, it's happening to our children in this state. I mean, Ohio is still fourth in the nation. This is it's rampant on social media. There's a lot of risks out there, and that's not to scare us, but that's to say we need to be equipped, because we're each, I mean, especially those who are parents, we're and even not, you know, positioned in the schools to be of influence to help stop our children being targeted and help identify those who are at risk and vulnerable. So it's very important that we all engage in this, and we all bring whoever we can bring, because the one person you could bring could be the one person who sees a situation and stops it. I mean, we've seen after Freedom Kai conferences in the past where I think the day of or the day after something was recognized in the realm of human trafficking and was able to be stopped. I mean, that's incredible, right? So we want to see more of that, and we want to we don't want to shrink back from what the Lord wants to do. All right?
Yeah, there's so much going on right now. Today kicks off the week of National Day of Prayer. So the Bible reading marathon will start today at 4 p.m. and go all the way through Thursday at noon in the Centennial Plaza is the National Day of Prayer service. There will be worship and prayer, and then worship going on throughout the rest of the afternoon as well. But leading up to that is the Bible reading marathon. And Frontline, we always try to cover the night watch from midnight to 8 a.m. So we're going to send around the sign-up sheet. And we would really encourage you to ask the Lord. We realize it requires sacrificing sleep, but it's really an opportunity to decree his word out into the city of Canton. And it's a lot of fun, to be honest with you. So please, especially if we can get tonight and tomorrow night filled up, then, of course, we want to fill up every night up until Thursday. But we need to make sure that these first couple nights get filled up, so we know that we have people that are available. We encourage you to do it in pairs, and if you're a woman, then we ask that you would find a guy to do that with you. So the Bible reading marathon is actually going to be in the median on Market Street in front of the courthouse, and then the National Day of Prayer events will be in that Centennial Plaza Square area. So if you have any other questions, you can see me, Ashley, or Susie. Thank you guys so much.
Just really quick with that, obviously we'll be soaking downtown Canton for the National Day of Prayer. And this Friday is the first Friday of May, and it is the first time of us having our booth down there. And so just to encourage you guys, obviously the Lord's releasing a lot. He's going to continue to release a lot, and we know that the atmosphere is going to be saturated with all the prayer and worship going forth. So we'll be getting you more information on that on Friday night with our prophetic booth outreach there, and we're looking forward to it in Jesus' name.
Okay, we're not going to show the Bill Johnson video. We're going to put the graphic up about the prophetic word. If you can put that up, that'd be great. Just want to let you know that there's a coalition of prophets, of seasoned prophets around the world who get together and they seek the face of God. And there's a strong move for the area of trying to educate and release words that they feel that they've gotten. And so there is a word that is on my Facebook page, and you can read that. It's called the Prophetic Briefing. Cindy Jacobs from Generals International was behind this word, and there's many prophets as well, as far, including prophets from Europe and many places around the world. So it's kind of a sobering word. It's not kind of, it is a sobering warning word, but it's a word that just encompasses many nations, including the United States, and how we are to take action and live in a lifestyle of repentance, lifestyle of understanding the significance of deep intercession and prayer to move things in a different direction. So they're really speaking on this prophetic word about the state of the world. So it's very interesting, whether you're in education or government or business or wherever you are, it's very timely and very important. Anytime there's a prophetic word that's released, we always submit to the Lord and elders around the world as well, and just say, Lord, what do you say about this? And then it would ring in our spirit what he is saying about this. So that's our heart behind it. If you'd like to see that, if you don't have Facebook and you want to get that, I can forward it to you. So we watched it the other night. It just came, and it's very intense, and it's very sobering. But it really, we live in the mercy of God, understanding the judgment of God as well. And we say, Lord, you can send a legion of angels and change everything that they think would be coming. They don't know timing or anything like that. But it's important to know so that we can navigate personally, get into alignment, live in a state of holiness and unity, and then pull communities together. So with that in mind, with National Day of Prayer, we've been asked to lead, Frontline's been asked to lead all the worship in the afternoon on National Day of Prayer down at Centennial Square. And there'll be prayer, worship that will be going, and then prayer will be interwoven from different places. And also, Pastor Bill will be going to Massillon for their National Day of Prayer. I will be praying in the Canton National Day of Prayer lineup. Rachel's going to be praying for human trafficking. And then Christy's going to be singing over the whole group before an altar call. So it just seems like there's a big stirring right now for prayer, intercession. And you know how we all are on evangelism, going to the nations, going to the streets or whatever, talking to our friends. So it's a movement that way. I believe we're positioned very well, but I really want to encourage you not to be afraid when you listen to a word, but just say, Lord, I see what you I see what they're saying. I submit it to you, and I want to hear from you. And if my spirit testifies with this, then this is a good word. So many people. You can also see it at Patricia King's Facebook page. She has it posted there. It was sent to me before it was posted there, so we had a chance to watch it, pray through it. So there are many people that are backing this word, so it is very important for all of our families. I'll be praying, actually, from a family perspective downtown at Centennial Square this week. So if you can come even till 4 o'clock, if that works into your schedule, and support us as we're leading the worship. As far as I know right now, we're the only worship team, I guess, for the entire afternoon. So we're used to what we do on Tuesday nights. So please come and support all of that, and there'll be a lot of people attending down there. And more than that, what we release over the city of Canton, over this region, is really going to be profound. So I really appreciate that. Also, we have something that you can plan for, which is our next all-night prayer and worship. So you have time to think about it, and the date is, or the flyer is, somebody? June 14th. June 14th. So if you want to mark that down in your calendars like you do for everything else and try to gear up for that, totally inconvenient for sure because it lasts all night. So see what you can do. Put it before the Lord. Ask him what your part is so that we can come together and pray and worship the Lord and pray these things that are coming our way, that seem to be coming our way, and pray them out because we believe in favor. That was outstanding, Michelle. That was such a good word. So we believe in the favor of the Lord. We want to stay low, stay humble as the Lord lifts us up to be able to be influencers. We want to be influencers in this region, in this nation, in other nations as well. That's our heart because we love Jesus. Amen? So with that in mind, God bless you. You can go to your classes, and Pastor Bill has a message.
Just want to pray over you that verse that Michelle mentioned out of Psalm 147:11. The Lord favors those who fear him, those who wait for his faithfulness. He cannot be anything but faithful. So if we wait for it, it happens. If we fear him, that's the favor. Father, we pray over every person here and every person tuning in online or who will catch it later online, that you will favor those who fear you. We just speak out your word, and you will favor those who fear you. So we agree with that, Lord. We are blessed by that, Lord. We want to wait for your faithfulness because it's always there for the taking, always there for the believing, always there, your faithfulness, Lord. Excitement. Jesus, we're looking to you in these days. These are not same old days, as Michelle spoke out, as Mary Pat spoke out. These are unusual days. These are the beginning of the last days. Matthew 24 and 25, we are in those chapters. We are seeing international events prove the Bible. So, Lord, we again say, favor those who fear you in these days. Those who wait on your faithfulness, and that faithfulness will come through. Thank you, Lord, for being the faithful one, for being the one that we can honor you by fearing you, by being in such intense awe that it carries us through every day. God, we give you the glory. We open up our hearts this morning for more of what you want to release. We come to a place of bowing before you, of humbling ourselves before you, Lord. A deeper humbling, a deeper bowing, opening our ears to listen, opening our eyes to see. You have revelation for us. You have impartation for us. You have new things that we are to learn and that we are to see. We give you glory today, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 24, verse 9, then they will hand you over to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. Who's that speaking of? Who's that speaking of? Us. And at that time, many will fall away, and they will betray one another and hate one another. Who's that speaking of? The Christians of our day, the believers of our day. There will be many that will fall away. They'll betray one another. They'll hate one another. And many false prophets will rise up and mislead many people. And because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will become cold. Have you noticed it? Have you noticed the temperature change in people's hearts? You go to a restaurant, you're not served the same as you used to be served. There's a temperature change. But the one who endures to the end is the one who will be saved. I want to prepare you to endure to the end. Take that job seriously. And you should be encouraging me to endure to the end. You see the craziness? It's not going to be over. It's going to increase. And as was said this morning, we shouldn't be fearful of that. We should press into the Lord. That's the place to be. The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Are you willing to pay that price? If these are the last days and you're going to be personally persecuted, persecuted by authorities, by the world system, persecuted individually, persecuted by believers that are falling away, are you willing to pay the cost to see the gospel go forth? Or are you going to circle the wagons around yourself and say, I'm not taking any more risks. I'm not going to do anything risky. I'm going to just care about my family, my house, my situation. Because that would be going against God's will for the last days. The relationships we have right now are supposed to increase, not go the other direction. Discouragement will be part of the falling away. People becoming discouraged. We only have one another and the Lord to encourage ourselves. If you get before the Lord each day and say, Lord, encourage me, that would be a good thing to do. Lord, build me up. Lord, I want to fear you in a whole new way, in a whole new level. That would be a great thing to do. And then get closer with the body of Christ. It's so quiet right now. Closer, not farther away. More sacrifice, not less. The enemy in these days is saying sacrifice less. You know, it's getting kind of crazy out there. Sacrifice less. Don't get so close to people. They hurt you. They might be someone that will turn against you or will cause you harm. So don't get too close. Don't get too close. COVID was about distance, right? Don't get too close. People are dangerous. The government instituted us getting farther away from one another. Are you seeing the enemy? He wants to divide us. First, you get farther away, it's easier to divide you. This isn't to scare you. There's a solution to this. The Lord says do the exact opposite of what the world system says. That was part of the lesson of COVID, right? Right? The world system said get farther away from each other. When we found out that when we got closer together, we were safer. Psalm 91, we declared over each other, praying for one another, not fearful, not letting fear be the biggest enemy, not COVID. We found something out. Wow, we were more protected. The names of the Lord came over us, and we were far more protected. We were far better off when we were closer together. Go against what the world system said, and let's do it together. Not one of us doing it. And the rest going, wow, that's really brave of you. But all of us doing it. And we learned as we went along. The Lord taught us. That was the test. We've said it many times, but let's hear it. That was the test. Now we have the opportunity to plan ahead, to be alert. As Psalm 24 and Psalm 25 go on, in verse 25 it says, behold, I've told you in advance. I say to you today, I've told you in advance. Just like the scriptures say, I am telling you in advance of what's going to go down. You should all be smiling. We have advance notice. No more surprises like COVID. Woo! Wait, it's in the country. Woo! Oh, it's across the nation. Oh, it's in Ohio. Oh, no, it's in our community. You remember? And we had to fight that urge to fear. Clean every surface in your house. Businesses cleaning every surface. Later you find out that didn't help a bit. That didn't help. You remember? Do you remember? Behold, I have told you in advance. Verse 42 of Matthew 24. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. Not just be on the alert of his coming, but everything in Matthew 24 and 25 that talks about the previews. You go to the movies, you know you can be late. Because they're going to do the previews. They're going to try to sell you some popcorn and some drinks. Come on over for the candy. So you go, I don't have to be there right at 7:30. That's not when the movie starts. But for this one, you want to be there at 7:30. You want to hear the previews. You want to know what's coming. And Matthew 24 and 25 have encouraged you to read those. Be well-versed in what's coming. The Bible is prophetic. It tells what's coming. The whole book of Revelation is about what's coming in specifics, which most of us, we're not going to know exactly what it looks like till it shows up, but we're going to go, hey, I think that's in the book of Revelation. Therefore, be on the alert. That's the key thing, right? Be watching. Be on the alert. Do you have to know everything to be prepared? No, you have to know Jesus. You have to hear Holy Spirit. You have to follow what he says. You have to look at the word and say, I want to learn. I want to grow. Help me with whatever little I know of the word. Every one of us knows very little. Every one of us. So let's share it together. When Michelle gets up here and sets that stage on fire for Jesus, let's listen. Let's get fired up with her. Listen to what she says to push us forward. When Pastor Mary Pat does the same, let's do that. Let's jump in. It's time. No more back. Let's jump in. Say, well, I have jumped in. I'm tired. Holy Spirit can overcome that as well. Holy Spirit can overcome weariness, tiredness. Do not be weary in well-doing. He must be able to overcome weariness. Especially if we speak it out, we should just cut that. I'm not tired. I am not tired in the end all. I am not tired. If I'm not tired, you have no right to be tired. verse 13. Be on the alert again. Because you do not know the day nor the hour. Now, it's talking about the coming of Jesus, but before he comes, we have the previews. We need to know a little bit about the previews. And we need to prepare ourselves even more than knowing the previews. If you prepare yourself in heart, you might miss some of the details. Say, I can't keep up with these details. The book of Revelation is so detailed, I can't keep up with it. Okay, then get ready in heart before Jesus. I am for you, Jesus, and be before Jesus praying as we've been encouraged to do more and more and more. And not just special prayer times. As you go through the day, pray. As you are doing your work, pray. As you are driving, pray, declare out. Tell the enemy he's not going to fool you. As the days become crazier and crazier. Okay, that was my preview. Now we're going to go to the meat, which is in Daniel. Follow me to Daniel. Follow me to the book of Daniel. I love how the Old Testament and the New Testament work together. You can parallel things. Book of Daniel is a very prophetic book about the last days, about our times. I'm not really going to go into that, but I am going to go into something you're very familiar with, but you're going to become more familiar with it, and you're going to have your own desire to go deeper into this particular occurrence in the Old Testament. Chapter 3 is about our day, even though most people don't look at this chapter as something necessarily about the last days. I think it says a lot about what's going on right now in current events. This is chapter 3 of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made a statue of gold, the height of which was 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. If you want to measure these cubits, you know, some of you numbers people, you know, about from here to here on a normal man's arm. So it would be a little bit longer. Could probably be about right here. That's a cubit. So you get 60 of those. You know, and it's a pretty tall thing. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Now, kings in ancient times, they didn't just want to be powerful kings. They knew if they could become God to the people, now you got everything. You've got the army. You've got the government in your hands. But you need the religious people. You have to. So give them something to worship. So Pharaoh wasn't just Pharaoh of Egypt. He had to be God. So the people looked at him as God, and then he could consolidate his power. Makes sense to an evil person, okay? So this is what Nebuchadnezzar's trying to do. I've got the power over the earth right now, but to really consolidate that power, I'm going to make sure people worship an idol of me. How prideful must you be to set up an idol of yourself and say, worship me, when you see all of creation all around? No fear of the Lord, right? No fear of the Lord. You say, well, I would never do that. You did that in your life at some point. I did that in my life at some point before Christ, right? We were our own idol. We worshiped basically what we thought we should do and act like in life and how we wanted to treat others. We had our own moral system. We had our own governmental system within ourselves. We made rules for ourselves, laws for ourselves. I won't cross this line. Of course, we did, but we had a whole system. We were the government. We were the idol. We were all of it. And then we bent our knee to Jesus Christ and gave up that kingdom, that little kingdom, for the grand kingdom of the true King. That's why when you were worshiping this morning, I could hear it. I could feel it blowing my hair forward from the back when I was up front here. The little bristles were just like blowing forward with the worship this morning. You meant it. You meant the worship this morning. God likes that. So keep that in mind. You want his kingdom over your little tiny kingdom. And Nebuchadnezzar, he learned this lesson several times. But this wasn't a good beginning. Nebuchadnezzar the king also sent word to assemble the satraps, the prefects, the governors, counselors, chief treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the administrators of the provinces to come to the dedication of the statue that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. He didn't miss anybody in authority. He had all three branches of government, plus he had religion. And he sets up this very tall idol. Then the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, the counselors, the chief treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the administrators of the provinces were assembled for the dedication of the statue that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the statue in Nebuchadnezzar that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. One person that wasn't in attendance was Daniel. There's a lot of conjecture about why wasn't Daniel there. It sounds like everybody else in authority was there. So there's been some thought, well, he was at court, so he didn't necessarily have to go and be there. Some thought he might be on a trip for the kingdom somewhere and wasn't in attendance. But in the previous chapter, Daniel, because of his great dreams, had impressed Nebuchadnezzar earlier and was able to have his friends promoted so that they were in key positions over Babylon. His friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were their names given to them by the Babylonians. He had them promoted. Anytime you're promoted, look out. Especially if it's because of favor that you're promoted. It just means you're a higher target for the enemy to go after. Is that to bring fear? No, that is to alert you, to prepare you. The more prepared you are against the enemy, the more that he wants to take you out so you don't tell anybody else. So pray for your pastors. Pray for the leaders of this fellowship. Because the enemy does not want this message to go forward. That we need to be on the alert. We need to come up against the system being put into place that is idol worship in our country and around the world. It's setting up for the deceivers to continue to deceive on higher and higher levels with more and more influence. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "To you, the command is given, you peoples, nations, and populations of all languages, that at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, bagpipe, and all kinds of musical instruments, you are to fall down and worship the golden statue that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, has set up." Entertainment. When the entertainment starts getting loud, when the media starts being very influential, look out. It's pointing to the world system. It's pointing to the idol. And it will become more and more godless. Watch out for media. Watch out for entertainment. It's going to support what the enemy is doing, how he is raising this idol up in our day. "But whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be thrown into the middle of the furnace of blazing fire." There are going to be some choices that we are going to have to make, and it's best if we're on alert, if we're already in the know that this is coming. They're going to tell us that being Jewish is inherently evil. Being Christian will be inherently evil. You are going to harm people with this misinformation, with this putting God into things. You're trying to raise yourselves up as better than others. And you are punishing people. You are hurting people. Whatever argument they come up with, it's here for the seeing, and in Matthew 24 and 25, you are going to be out of order. And it won't matter about the Constitution. You've seen that already. The Constitution is a document that's being laughed at in most corners, unfortunately, anymore. The judicial system doesn't make decisions based on it anymore in so many corners of our society. And you can't depend on the Supreme Court. They're compromised as well. So you say, wow, this is looking kind of sad. This is bad news. No, because now you're on alert. No, now you know ahead of time. So you won't be surprised when the next phase of the COVID hysteria, the whatever form it takes, happens. Right now, it seems like a lot of anti-Semitism, wouldn't you say? From all corners, college campuses protesting Israel's ability to defend themselves against terrorists. Openly saying that students that are Jewish on campus should be persecuted. And the campus administrations are like, I don't know what to do about that. Not going to do anything. Put out weak statements or no statements. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be thrown into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. It may not look like the blazing fire of this passage, but it will be blazing fire the same. Therefore, as soon as all the peoples heard the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, bagpipe, and all kinds of musical instruments, all the peoples, nations, and populations of all languages fell down and worshiped the golden statue that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Most people are going to do the wrong thing. Most. Majority. And we've always said majority rules in the United States. Majority rules. God has never said that. But we've been saying that as a country. Well, of course we'll vote in the right direction if majority rules. But we've made a lot of mistakes as a country when majority ruled in the wrong direction because morality wasn't part of it. God was not part of the voting. If God votes, that's the only vote you need. And then you align with him. And he's always a minority. So there is coming a time when you would wish that minority rules. Because we are going to be Gideon's army. Army. A true army. Spiritual army battling against the forces that are going to be far more numbered than we have. And we're going to love the enemy at the same time. Wow. That's how the gospel is going to go crazy in the last days. We're going to love despite being persecuted. We're going to love despite being imprisoned. Despite all the things that happen against us. Think about it. Isn't it interesting that this ministry has been aligned with Pastor Jacob, jailed for his faith unjustly in India, beaten to the place where he could have easily died a number of times. They took him to the hospital. And he's come back from that. And also, Isaac and Brother Yoon and Isaac, you know their story, and beaten in China, imprisoned, were doing no wrong, but the government said it was wrong to have the gospel go out. Beaten to an inch of their lives, and they have come back from that and minister around the world. They're the preview. They're the preview. We need to realize this is really happening and prepare our hearts. Now, that one of us does, it doesn't happen to, or this whole group it doesn't happen to, or it only happens in certain spots on the earth or whatever, if in Nigeria, does the body of Christ with whoever it happens to, right? If in Nigeria Christians are killed, in Mozambique, northern Mozambique, or wherever it might be, China, they're being imprisoned and killed. India, more persecution is on the rise. We're aligned with them. Our hearts should be overcome by the fact that some of the body of Christ is being severely persecuted and losing their lives. Well, it's not happening here. Well, Jesus, help us. For this reason, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and brought charges against the Jews. They saw their opportunity. The enemies of the body of Christ saw their opportunity. That is going to happen, isn't it? They began to speak and said to Nebuchadnezzar the king, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every person who hears the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, and bagpipe, and all kinds of musical instruments is to fall down and worship the golden statue. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall be thrown into the middle of the furnace of blazing fire. So here you have this prideful king, and then he has all the minions come to him that just want to terrorize a group of people, whether it be the Jews or whether it be Christians or whether whoever it is. They want power in that. They want to be close to the seat of power. They want to be in the majority. They want to be at the top of the majority. Top dogs. And they are satanically influenced. This isn't just men doing this. This is the enemy behind using flesh to try to tear down the true king. Jesus is the true king. And so they prop up, they support this false idol, and they appeal to his pride. They appeal to him being in power because of their support. Look, we support you. We support that you are at the top. We support this idol. We've been bowing down. Now do what we say. We have seen that in our own government. You, O king, have made a decree. O king, live forever. Words that support evil. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall be thrown into the middle of the furnace of blazing fire. There are certain Jews, think of today's events, whom you have appointed over the administration of the province of Babylon, namely Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have disregarded you. They do not serve your gods, nor do they worship the golden statue which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and anger, they get him hyped up to do even more evil than what he normally would do. The enemy comes in and gets leaders hyped up. Supporters of the evil agenda get enemies hyped up, get leaders hyped up. So he's in rage and anger. He gives orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then these men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar began speaking to them. Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Are you ready for court proceedings? This is a courtroom now before the king. Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods nor worship the golden statue I've set up? Put your own name in there. Now, if you are ready, the moment you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, and bagpipe, and all kinds of musical instruments, to fall down and worship the statue that I have made, very well. If you're willing to do that right now, we'll just let this go. There's no wiggle room here, is there? Like, he doesn't leave out one of the instruments. They have their, have it all listed. If you don't do this thing, it's pretty simple. Bow your knee or don't bow your knee. But if you do not worship, you will immediately be thrown in the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. And what God is there who can rescue you from my hand? Is there any fear of God in that statement? Of course not. There will be no fear of God. There will be no moral code. The United States, even though it didn't have, you know, a completely Christian nation, they called themselves a Christian nation because we were basing everything on the Judeo-Christian heritage of our nation, and people said, well, yeah, you know, to steal is wrong. To riot and hurt people while you're... that's wrong. Well, now all that's been flipped upside down, hasn't it? To riot, you are fine. We're just going to let you riot because you should be mad. You should be upset. There have been injustices against you. So groups pay groups to riot. And we say, well, that's just the system, you know. I mean, of course they pay people that don't even care about the issue to riot. It's just getting worse, as you know. What God is there, mockery, that can rescue you? Ha! Laughing in your face. Laughing in their face. This is the response we should have to all of this. Sorry to describe it this way, but this is the response. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king. They didn't just stay silent. Nebuchadnezzar, we are not in need of an answer to give you concerning this matter. You know why they weren't in need of an answer concerning this matter? They already had made up their minds long before this happened to them. That if this ever happened to them, they were going to stand for the living God. That's our decision. If we can encourage one another to do that, let's encourage one another that when the day comes, for any of us, one of us or all of us, that we stand for the living God. We encourage one another to do that. None of us know if we're going to have the courage at that moment. He's going to supply it, but are we going to apply it? But if we encourage one another, if we stand with one another, if we see the value of one another before God and want our eternal destinies to be absolutely secured, each one of us, we care about each other's eternal destiny. Then we'll support one another when the time comes. We'll be all in as one person. So that if one of us is attacked for our faith, for some trumped up act or whatever, we will act in one voice. We will act in support. We won't run the other direction like the disciples did when Jesus was arrested at Gethsemane. Learn from that and say, no, we will run to the battle. Nebuchadnezzar, we are not in need of an answer to give you concerning this matter because it's already been settled in our hearts. I added that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not in need of an answer. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to rescue us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. And those two can be put in the same boat. We can be rescued from the blazing fire. Now, if you think of a blazing fire, that takes a little bit of faith, doesn't it? To believe that you're thrown into a house fire and you're going to come out not even smelling like fire. But they had that kind of faith in that moment that God gave to them. And they had already said they wanted that when the moment came that they would get into deep trouble. They may have seen it ahead of time when they were promoted to positions of authority. They said, uh-oh, bigger target. The enemy will have a bigger target on us. We are a foreign people in a foreign land, and we are coming into more leadership. We have not even begun to hear about Joseph, what he went through to be the second in command in the land of Egypt. It just sounded like it kind of just went along very easily. I can't imagine that. You are a Hebrew, and you're second in command in the land of Egypt. You have the favor of Pharaoh. There had to be all kinds of people under you wanting to take you out by hook or by crook or by trap or by whatever. And yet we don't know that story. That wasn't in God's heart to reveal that to us. But these guys were promoted, and now they're in this position. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods nor worship the golden statue that you have set up. Now that's pretty definite, isn't it? We had our chance during COVID to say, no, we're not doing that. And we learned as we went along to say, no, I'm not doing that. No, I'm not doing that. No, I'm not going to do that. And our voice got louder and louder, and more of us spiritually got the picture clearer and clearer, and the louder our no was. They start out with a loud no. So we had our chance to learn, and now our no can be as loud as the no of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath. He didn't like their answer. They're not going to like your answer when we stand up and we say no. He was filled with wrath, and his facial expression was changed. You can imagine what his face looked like. Weeping, gnashing of teeth. Vitriol, hatred. How dare you? I am the statue. I am the man. I am. A couple chapters later, he basically went out on a wall, this Nebuchadnezzar, this king, he went out on the wall of Babylon. It's one of the seven wonders of the world back when I was growing up. Now I think there's like 13. I don't know. There's a bunch of them. But back when I was growing up, it was seven. There were no more than seven. And one of them was the Gardens of Babylon. that this guy was walking around on the wall, because the wall was like, you could drive two or three cars. This wall was so thick. Wide, I guess. And he's walking on that wall, and he says, look at all that I've built. Look what I've done. Instantly, he went crazy. And he went out in front of that wall and ate grass for 7 years. It's kind of an indicator, maybe not be prideful. Just a thought. Eating grass for 7 years, and by God's grace, no one took over the kingdom during that time. I think Daniel had something to do with that, I would say. And he came to himself, and he realized, oh, man, I spoke out in pride. I need to give praise to the living God. That's coming for this guy. He had a problem with pride. And so don't be fooled when they go into these great things about God. They're not really that fearful of God, because then the next minute they do something crazy in pride. Filled with wrath, facial expression was changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He answered by giving orders to heat the furnace 7 times, more than it was usually heated. And he ordered certain valiant warriors who were in the army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in order to throw them into the furnace of blazing fire. Not just any old policeman. He got the top dogs in the army to tie them up. And you know how they tied them up? Listen to this. Then these men were tied up in their trousers. I didn't even know they had trousers back then. Their coats, their caps, and their other clothes. They took their wardrobe and tied them up in their wardrobe. Why would they do that? Blazing furnace? You're kindling now. You're going to be just burned to a crisp. There's no way. You are, everything around you is flammable. For this reason, because the king's command was harsh and the furnace had been made extremely hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They go to throw them in and they are melted, just like Raiders of the Lost Ark. They just instantly melted, these valiant warriors that threw them into the furnace. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the middle of the furnace, not the side, not somewhere where it was nice and cool. In the middle of the furnace of blazing fire, still tied up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astounded and stood up quickly. He said to the counselors, was it not three men that we threw bound into the middle of the fire? They replied to the king, absolutely, O king. The king is watching this like it's entertainment. He responded, look, I see four men untied and walking about the middle of the fire unharmed, and the appearance of the fourth is like the son of the gods. So some have said, well, it was an angel, or it was an appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament. I tend to go with Jesus, because he's going to be in your fiery furnace. He's going to be in the bottom of your boat that's going through the storm. He's going to be wherever you are facing something that's overwhelmingly evil, something that is trying to take you out. The Son of God is going to stand for you, be with you. You say, well, what about martyrs? He is with them, and he ushers them into heaven. So if that's our plot, that's our lot, if that's what happens to us, we're just ushered into heaven. We're just with him. He decides. It's okay with me. I don't want to give him any suggestions. If I'm truly in fear of the Lord, I shouldn't be giving suggestions. I should be listening with both ears to what he has to say. I see four men tied up and walking about in the middle of the fire, unharmed. And the appearance of the fourth is like, why are they unharmed? Because the fourth is in there. He's with us. You're going to be unharmed eternally, unharmed spiritually. Maybe your body will go through something. Maybe your emotions will be racked for a period of time, but the peace of the Lord will be greater than anything that comes against us, and the presence of the Lord is going to see us through. Some of you are in fiery furnaces right now. They're on a lesser level than what we've been talking about, but you're in a fiery furnace. Guess who's with you? He's so close to you. He joins you in the fiery furnace. He's not like on the outside of the furnace and goes, okay, I'll pluck them out of there. He's right with you. He's in the bottom of the boat asleep while your storm is going on. It's up to you to crawl next to him. It's up to you to get next to him, drawing close to him. The things you don't understand, whisper into his ear, I don't understand, Jesus. I don't understand. And he's going to say, you come to the right place. You've come to the right place. And then the peace that you receive in his presence, you won't care whether you understand. You'll be close to him. And a lot of your questions will melt away into worship. A lot of your questions won't be answered and you don't care. You're so overwhelmed by being close to the one that can save us out of any fiery furnace and will save us out of the ultimate fiery furnace. The fiery furnace on earth is nothing compared to what faces people that don't know Jesus when they pass into eternity, separated from God, facing a true hell, not just the swear word. That should, immediately we should start thinking, what does it matter what I go through if I can save another soul? What does it matter what trauma I have if I can turn to Jesus and then help someone else, not just draw in the wagons around my little tribe, my little group? Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the furnace of blazing fire. He said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, come out, you servants of the Most High God, and come here. He could have really gotten a revelation and not called them by their stupid, idol-loving names that the Babylonians gave to them. Their original names, Hananiah, the Lord has been gracious. Mishael, who is equal to God. Azariah, the Lord has helped. Daniel, he goes through the lion's den later. God is my judge. Those were their original names. So this king doesn't quite have the clue, but he had the opportunity. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the middle of the fire. The satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had no effect on the bodies of these men, nor was the hair of their heads singed, nor were their trousers damaged, nor had even the smell of fire touched them. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants who put their trust in him, violating the king's command and surrendered their bodies rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or population of any language that speaks anything offensive against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb and their houses made a rubbish heap. Because there is no other God who is able to save in this way." Then the king made Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego prosperous in the province of Babylon. Even though he speaks highly, he still doesn't have it. He's not in fear of the Lord. He's just impressed with the escape. And there'll be people in our lives impressed with the escape, but not long afterwards, they could come after us again. So we only trust the family of God and put our trust in the living God that they're willing to align with and serve. And let's support one another, amen? Let's stand when the day is there to stand, but not because I tell you so or the Bible tells you so, but because you rely on the Holy Spirit. Don't think that you're going to be so courageous when that time comes on your own. You're going to rely on His power. And I've told you ahead of time. And you're on the alert. And this is all good news because it means Jesus is getting closer and closer to setting things right in our world. And we're on His team. We're saying, we worship You, God, as we did this morning. We worship You. We're going to, you know, those of us that are able, go to the National Day of Prayer. Join in with other believers. We're not the only believers in Stark County, obviously, so we need to join in with them. Because they're going to be attacked. And we need to know who they are. We need to stand with them in worship and in prayer together. We need to find out who other believers are in this county and get to know them personally so that when the day comes, we'll know who's who and we'll be able to stand for the ones that need support. Father, we give You all the praise. You're glorious. You are the one that's always victorious even when it looks like the battle isn't going in the right direction. You can turn it around in a heartbeat. Lord, we thank You for being the fourth in our fiery furnace. And maybe it's the second because it's just us. Just one of us in the fiery furnace and You're with us. Whether it be three or whether it be one, You're with us. You're for us. You're never against us. You want to rescue us, Father, in whatever way You decide. If it's a rescue in this life, Lord, it's for Your glory. If it's a rescue in the next life, it's for Your glory. Let it be for Your glory. Father, I pray that we would encourage one another, lift one another up, value one another. Obviously, gossip and insinuating things about others and constant attack of one another won't work for us coming closer and closer together. Jesus, let's get to know one another's heart before You. Let's trust You so that we can trust one another even in our imperfections. Jesus, thank You, Lord. You're so good to put us on the alert. You're so good to prepare us ahead of time. Thank You, God. We give You glory for how You're going to use this in our lives to be sober-minded, serious, but also in joy. In joy that is our strength. Thank You, Father. We give You all the glory. We give You all the praise. We fear You, God. We humble ourselves before You. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is to leave you with a wonderful picture. I've had many dreams over the years, and I've been in this position as a bigger elephant to see people free. And I want you to look at that because I want our eyes to see sometimes what we don't recognize and what we don't realize. For those who are around us, maybe there are children or grandchildren, people around us, but we want to see ourselves as the mama or papa elephant to be able to stomp on the head of the devourer and actually rescue the ones who are supposed to become mama and papa elephants. Amen? So look at that. It's really cool. I've had dreams about all kinds of things, but this picture really hit me. I thought, this is good. I like this. This is a seat of power. This is a seat of authority. And this comes from great humility and trusting the Lord that He's going to see us through it as we stand. So look at that, and maybe you'll be thinking about anyone who might be in the clutches or the claws or the jaws of the devourer. Maybe it's within our own family ranks. and that we approach things spiritually and we win because of the powerful God that we serve, because of his authority, because of his power. And he is faithful, and he will do it. So you be blessed with that crazy picture. But I'll tell you what, the enemy's going to give up those that have been clomped down on, been partially eaten or attacked, in Jesus' name. Amen? Because of our God. Amen.